morning. Appreciate the work that went into making that sound so well. I don't know who wrote that song, but praise the Lord for that. All right.
Do they have wireless? Do they make wireless ones of these? They do? Man, wouldn't it be nice to just clip and then connect and then send? All right. So where are we going this morning? Hold on a second. I'll tell you a second. Proverbs chapter 30. Let's feel all. Okay. Proverbs chapter 30. I want to warn you this morning, the message starts off somewhat negative, but I promise you, it'll end right, okay? It'll end good. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, it says, "There is a generation that curseth their mother and doth not bless their father. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their own filthiness. There is a generation, oh high, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you, God. It's good to know, it's good to be reminded that you are on the throne, and that you reign forever. Amen. God, there's no problem, there's no difficulty, there's no circumstance that we can face without you with us. Lord, I'm thankful. God, I pray that this message would echo that thought. God, that there is no hope in this world, that there's no hope in sin, Lord. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. God, bless service here this morning. May we leave here encouraged. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if you're aware of the reality that things are not getting better. The moral code of humanity seems ever decreasing. Here we are told of such things. There is a generation. And it seems like every one of these woes or every one of these warnings is exactly who we are. I'm not sure if the generation before would say that this is how it's been, but it seems like this is it. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. I feel like that's today. If we look out over the world and we look at how the world in America acts and how things are going and the level of moral, I guess the level of immorality, the level of sin, the level of acceptance and tolerance of sin. Right now we have a millennial generation. Say, what is that? That's ages 18 to 34. If you're in that, raise your hand. 18 to 34. Great. That's I'm out of that. I'm not in that anymore. I was never the millennial. I guess I'm Generation X is what they tell me. I don't know what that means. But the millennial generation is the largest living generation in our country. They have more people. Outlived the baby boomers. They're more. Millennials are earning 20% less than their parents did at the same time. 40% of millennials are unemployed. 40%. 18 to 34-year-olds, 40%. Student debt has doubled in this generation than the previous one. One-third of millennials still live at home. I was, when we first got married, we moved into a little apartment in Brockport. Monroe Avenue right by the college. The Lord used that and allowed us to really minister to some college kids over the years. Then we moved up by the lake, and I was renting from a man, and he told me, he says, "Nick, you need to buy a house." This is the guy I'm renting from. I thought he wanted me out. I said, "Chap, why do you say that?" He goes, "Because there's something about owning your own place." He goes, "It gives you a sense of accomplishment." He goes, "Buy yourself a shack and fix it up. Do something, whatever it is, but be a homeowner. It makes you more responsible." We have a generation when 1/3 of the house-owning age of people live at home still. The average age of a millennial having children is 30. 47% of millennials, 47% of births are non-marital. Did you hear that? 47% of millennials having children are not married. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. So you're giving us a bad rap. Okay, the United States of America, divorce rate's 50%. 62% of Americans, listen to this, this statistic baffled me, blew me away, because I know it wasn't like this 4 years ago. 62% of Americans support same-sex marriage. 62% say it's okay. Do you know what it was when it passed? Below 30. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. Suicide rates have climbed in nearly every state in the past 2 decades. That's in the last 20 years. Suicide rate has gone up. 1/2 of the states over the last 20 years increased more than 30%. Those are not based on, oh, well, there's just more people. That's a percentage. One third of U.S. adults believe in some sort of higher power, but not the God of the Bible. 24% of Americans are unaffiliated with any sort of religious entity. That is, in that group are atheists and agnostics. A quarter of Americans say there is no God. So why are you telling us all this? Because there's a generation. 100 people die every day from a drug overdose in America. 100 people die every single day by drug overdose. That has tripled in the last 20 years. 90% of addicts started before the age of 18. Mr. Knob? I'm not calling him Mr. Knob because he works with that. 10% of ages 12 and up have used an illegal drug in the last month. 10% of our demographics of ages 12 and higher. 10%. That's 1 out of every 10. That's 1 out of 2 rows of our church. 1 person out of those 2 rows have used an illegal drug in the last month. So I look at that and I read those statistics and I think, we are hopeless. We are helpless. We are spending more money than ever before to overcome these things. They throw more money, the government throws more money, recognizes the problems. They have all the same statistics. They have all the same problems. It's the public hospitals that are being infiltrated with addiction abuse and suicide. All of those things, they see it regularly and they have no idea how to fix it. They create programs, they create, programs to try and fix it. Here's what we'll do, we'll get this group together and we'll do this. And we'll, you know what we need to do? We need to educate people. Someone needs to teach these kids that suicide is not right. Is that it? You think the problem is that a young person doesn't know taking my life is going to end things? You don't think they know that? But they have no hope. They have no help. When a kid comes walking into the guidance counselor's office and says, I want to take my own life. Oh, please don't. Here, you want a candy bar? Here, come talk about your feelings. They have nothing to offer. So what do? They turn to alcohol. They turn to an illicit relationship. They turn to all of these things to try and mask these ugly feelings that are inside. Helpless, hopeless feelings. And they have nowhere to go. That's the generation in which we live. They have no sense of purpose, no sense of belonging. Say, did God know that? There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, ready to devour the poor from the earth, the needy from among them. There is a selfish generation. And I feel like that's where we live right now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Programs and if you work in one of those programs, I understand that you're just trying to help. I told you a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we volunteered at a teen shelter. And these were, just had a rough go, the kids. And I made no apologies for being a Christian. I said, can I tell them about Jesus? And Leigh said, only if they ask. I said, they're not going to ask. I'm just being matter of fact with the counselor. I said, they're not going to ask. I have to be able to initiate a conversation. She goes, off the record, okay. She knew they needed something. She knew it. They have houses that are tucked away in the middle of these beautiful suburbs and beautiful places, and they bring these kids in and they're trying to help them, but they're not helping them. They return them back to their home only to see them just another time again. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Seems like that's where we're at. Say, oh yeah, the millennials and the adults and everybody else. The way of the world is contrary to the things of God. And I'll preach it and teach it so much so that it becomes ingrained in us and our consciences are now seared with a hot iron. Can't even make sense of what's right and what's wrong. We're studying the story of David and Goliath in Sunday school today. And you know what? There's an army standing there against Goliath. And no one sees it as, hey, this is a problem. No one sees it as, hey, I'll go forth. And this little boy comes out and he says, I'll go. Everyone saw the problem, but no one was willing to deal with it. And I feel like that's kind of how Christians are today. We see it. We see all the problems, but do we really want to deal with it? It's like sticking your hand into a bag of snakes. I'm going to get bit. This isn't going to turn out well for me. Anybody ever... in no way am I talking demoralizing or talking down about anybody, but have you ever had any dealings with someone that's on drugs, addicted to drugs? That's difficult. They're minding right. I think people are out to get them. They'll steal from their own family to be able to support their addiction. We were just in Syracuse the other day, and this guy comes walking up. He had a whole spiel all laid out. He had a luggage bag. He tells me he just missed his bus. He needs or missed his train. I think he missed his train. Forget which mode of transportation. He just needs a couple dollars to get the bus to go get the next one.
no, I don't think that's true.
And when I said no, he went running to the next service station. He had a whole plan laid out, because with $10 he could buy a little heroin. That's it. And he goes from high to high to high. He's unreasonable. So how does that happen? Why? Because their conscience has been seared. They were somewhere along the way, they tried something to try and take away something that God placed inside of all men. A need for Jesus Christ. And the world will go to many lengths and many efforts to mask that, to cover it up. How about it, Brother Nub? You work with ladies. Again, they're not less of people. They just didn't find any hope. So they shot up. So they drank it down. So they went and lived a lifestyle, and now they got diseases and troubles. They've tried to take their own life. Maybe the life of somebody else. Say, is that for real? That's exactly... Brother Rice, you work at the hospital. You see it all the time. And we look out and go, man, I'm just going to lock the door, sit behind it with my shotgun. Anybody comes in, boom. I'm just going to barricade myself in to insulate myself from all of this. I'm not sure that's my responsibility. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Wow, Brother Russo, you are right. This first part of the message is negative. It's true. It's true. We don't like it. It's ugly. Because chances are really good, with the statistics I read this morning, you know at least one name that fulfills that. Maybe a handful. And as the days go by, you'll know more. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If that doesn't describe our society, I don't know what does. Lovers of pleasure. Hey, that's going to end in destruction, yes, but it feels good right now, so I'm going to do it. Because it takes away the hopelessness. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The other day, Blake and I were just sitting at the table and we were looking up how much it costs to go to college. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I told you that college debt is double what it was a generation ago. Say, well, it's just more expensive. We ought to be smarter. Education is God. Especially in New York. We're looking at some colleges, $50,000 a year to go to college. But not finding the truth. It's a hopeless, helpless generation. Romans chapter 1. Somewhat of a lengthy passage, but it feel like it needs to be read completely. In verse 18 through the end of the chapter, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what the Scripture says? That creation testifies of the glory of God. That man has to consciously look at that and say, no. Because naturally, you look out there and say, there is an eternal power, and I am without excuse. But we have educated ourselves and stating, there is no eternal power, and therefore I have an excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creepy things. The God of this country is not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not Lord Jehovah. It is man. What do you say He is? What do you say He is? All right, that works out good for everybody. It's whatever you think. And you need to be respectful of His beliefs, and He'll be respectful of your beliefs. Even if He's trying to kill you, you need to be tolerant of Him. It's mankind. That is the God of our nation. Man. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving. It's a sin, you know that? It's a sin. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their own lust toward one another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So much so that 62% say, yeah, it's good. And that number is jumping up. It's not like, well, next year it should be around 63%. No, 80. Gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And it's amazing, that list, right? You read that list and all of a sudden, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Welcome to 2018. There's no hope. There's no help. If this is the society that we live in, I see why people are turning over to alcohol and drug abuse and all of those things to try and... How do you deal with this? How do you handle these things? How do you overcome these things? We're hopeless. We're helpless. The only answer is Jesus Christ. Psalm 78. We are going to take a dramatic turn in our message at this point. Correct. Without Christ, it is hopeless. Without Christ, it is helpless. If Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Awesome. That's great. You are no longer hopeless. You are no longer helpless. But we have addicts trying to help addicts. We have suicidal people trying to help suicidal people. There's no hope. And there's certainly no help outside of Christ. So we come to Psalm 78. Right? Is that what I told you? Psalm 78. Look at verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. What? The generation to come might know them. Verse 6. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children this, that they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. There's only one hope. There's only one answer. It's God himself. And we as Christians have a responsibility to take the next generation and show them that. That there is hope. That there is help. The only way to help somebody is Jesus Christ. Because he can do this. He can take someone that is a complete failure. A complete failure. Have failed on all levels of life. Socially, academically, physically, spiritually, educationally. A complete failure, and give them faith. He can exchange their failures for faith. He can take someone that is completely lost in society, having no direction, no hope, and he can give them purpose. He can take a sinner and turn them into a saint. He can take the hopeless and give them joy. Ever meet someone that's hopeless? They have no joy. They don't even want to come out the next day because they have no hope. What's the answer? Jesus Christ. He can take the drunk and give them peace. No one drinks alcohol because it tastes good. I've never drank beer before. Not that I know of. Unless I was like a little kid and grabbed my dad's or something like that. I don't even know what it tastes like. It smells awful. I used to work at Wegmans, and we worked at the customer service area, and that's where they return bottles. No. I don't want to drink anything that smells like that. So why do people drink? Why do they go to alcohol? Because it makes their body feel something. Or not feel something. They're looking for peace. And they won't find it in the bottle. They'll drink it all the way down and get to the end, and the problems are still the same. They'll just be poorer. He can take someone that has no hope and give them peace. He can take someone that's been abused. Man, it breaks my heart to see some of our young kids physically, verbally, sexually abused. Man, it hurts my heart. I like movies just like anybody else. It's hard to find ones that are good, but if somewhere throughout that movie a child is being... It's fake, Pastor. I can't even. It's too much. Because I've seen it real too many times. But he can take someone that's been abused and love them. Real love. He's our only answer. He's our only hope. He can take a thief and make him a giver. You meet someone that was lost, stole, and you get Christ inside, they'll be one of your biggest givers. You know why? Because they feel, I think they feel indebted. I took so much from somebody, and all I want to do is give back. Those will be your best servants. A reformed thief will give everything that they have. Because that's the difference that Christ makes. Take someone that's broken, and Christ can make them beautiful. The world doesn't leave anybody better, but Christ makes everybody better. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go back to that. Can I step away from the message just for a second? I just want to explain something to you about me. You might look at me and say, man, you're such a wimp. You cry a lot. You're sappy. Man up, dude. All right, I understand what you're saying. It's just the truth and the power of God to reform a life just touches my heart. I just want to let you know, like, if you can't handle that, that's how I am, and that's how I'll always be. I read the Good Samaritan story, or I read the Prodigal Son. Read it 100 times before. Every time I preach on it, it brings tears to my eyes because that just touches my soul. So when I'm talking about someone that can go from a failure and lost and sinner and hopeless and a drunk and abused and a thief and broken and what Christ can do for them, I can't help. It just comes out. So I'm sorry if you can't handle that. If you think that I'm somewhat less of a man for that, okay, all right. I admit then if that's what it is. But it just touches my heart deep. All right. So, all right. Back to our message. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The very same passage that we looked at and said, this is a hopeless time. Because in verse 1 it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. And he gives this list. In the same passage, though, it says this, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Can I talk to our millennials just for a minute? This is the statistically the group that is going to have the greatest amount of trouble, more than any generation previous. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. Know what Christ does? He takes the statistics and he throws them away. He does away with them. You have an opportunity to break the mold of the millennial lifestyle and be an example of believers. What is needed more than ever before is our millennial kids, the kids that are 18 to 34, that stand up and say, hey, let me show you how it's done. Let me show you. I got hope. I got some help. I got peace. I know what love is. I'm kind. I'm gentle. I love others. And I'm a man. And I can take care of my own. And I'm a godly lady. And I worship the God of the Bible. Because outside of Christ, there is no hope. But within Christ, He breaks all the statistics, breaks all the molds. Some of those statistics that we read. Divorce rates in the world are the same as divorce rates in the church. That's sad. Let's break the mold. Let's stop. Let's not allow the statistics of the world to become the statistics of the church. So we need some people to stand up. Say, yeah, my parents. Hey, young person. Hey, 18 to 34, we need some examples of righteousness. Some of you are getting ready to go off to college. Stand for what's right. Let no man despise thy youth. Don't let anyone take that away. Be an example. Verse 13. So how do I do that? How do I break the statistics? I'm so glad you asked. The Lord tells us in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Read the Word of God. It answers every question and align with it. Well, I have these feelings towards this person. Well, what does the Scripture say? Well, it says it's sin. All right, then that's not okay. Well, I would like to go over here and I would like to do this. Or I would like to conduct myself in this way. Well, why are you doing that? Well, it makes me feel good. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, it says I can't. Then stop! But the problem is, even within the church, man is his God. Read the Scripture. See what it says. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Reach your generation. We can all point out the problems, but someone's got to stand up and say, is there not a cause? Give yourself under reading and exhortation. Be a help. Build somebody up. Study the Word of God. I'm telling you, no, Christians ought to be the smartest person in the room. Why? Because they know the truth. Hey, if I can say a lie confidently, does that make me intelligent? No! Makes you a fool. A Christian ought to be able to come into the room and say, this is what God says, by not just the authority of man, but by the authority of eternity, speak. With discretion and kindness and respect. But we're all like the armies of Israel and taking a step backwards towards the Goliath and a step forward. Well, that's going to require work. I'm going to have to read something. I'm going to have to learn something. You can't tell me. And then we bring that whole mentality back again. Serve somebody else, it says. Think. Take heed. Be careful. Hey, Christian. Say, yeah, you get on them millennials. Man, they're driving as crazy, and them little Priuses driving around and drinking their $6 cups of coffee, and they're, you know, and that, and they're just going on and on, right? You can't tell me, I don't care what your age is, that if we did these things, it wouldn't be better. What do you read? What do you read about? Well, I like these romance novels. Stop. That's not helping anybody. It's giving you this virtual reality of a world. What do you do with your spare time? Well, I like to play solitaire on the computer. Okay, great. But is that really helping? Is that giving attendance to reading, to exhortation, to study? Say, I'm older, I can't get out alone. Then have somebody over. Make brownies. Miss Lemke used to have me over. She would make these little plates of brownies and these root beer. I've never seen such small root beer cans. And we would just fellowship. How old is she? I don't know. Older than me. And she would encourage me. I'm praying for you, Brother Nick. How's your family? You know, and she calls me and, man, she exhorted me. She was helpful to me. What have you been reading, Miss? Oh, she'll tell you what she's reading in her Bible. She'll tell you about the things that she's done with her life for the Lord. Serve somebody else. Hey, you want to set an example of what it means to be a godly young person? Go find someone else and serve them. Get involved in a ministry. Well, I just don't got time. You don't got time. That's what we're called to do. We're called to reach our generation, to reach the world. We're called to break the statistics and be an example. study and think. Be intelligent, well spoken. So you're asking things of us that are unreasonable. But we can do more then. I'm not saying we all got to be doctors. But we can give attendance and thought to some things. We can give attendance and thought to hope. And watch for the hopeless. And we can give thought to the helpless. And be able to reach them with help in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. I'm sad to say that our world today it's not getting any better. It won't. Not till Jesus Christ comes and sorts it all out. And abuse and addictions and all the other problems that are associated with it are going to get higher and higher. So let's be an example. Let's be an example of what it means that God can take a failure and give him faith. That he can take a sinner and make him a saint. He can take the hopeless and give him joy. He can take the drunk and give him peace. Say, oh, I've messed my life up too much. Alcohol just destroyed my life. Well, come to Christ and allow him to give you peace. Say, I was abused. Well, show him the love of Christ. I was a thief and I stole, then serve and give. I'm broken. I'll show how God can take broken things and make them beautiful. Last week we talked about an altar. What's the purpose of it? What does it do? Let's not forget that. The altar is a place where victories are won. Maybe this morning you're struggling with one of those. I feel like a failure. Hey, those statistics don't stop at the double doors out here. They come in. I feel like a failure. I've messed my whole life up. Here I am, 50, 60, 70 years old, and I got nothing to show for it. Here I am, 25 years old, and I don't know what I'm doing. Well, come get some victory. Come talk to God and make a vow to him. Say, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. And come to Christ, who can undo all that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that as we look at these verses, Lord, you are our help. You are our hope, our only hope. God, I pray that not only will we apply it to our lives, but God, we would be an example of it to others. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message? Maybe there's someone that you want to come specifically and pray for. Someone that you know that's just struggling. Lord,